You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Y'all feel good today? Y'all sound good singing. I could listen to you all morning. It's a gift for us to be together. It's always a blessing for me to come through the tunnel from Norfolk, Virginia, where I serve, where I live and serve, and to be with you. I want us to be rooted as we get into Luke chapter 9 this morning. And so I want to talk through friends forever, enjoying friendship with God and his people. And today I really want to emphasize friendship in the cross. This is the appeal that I'm going to make this morning, is that we ought to enter into this cruciform discipleship in the form of friendship. And so my appeal is really simple: friendship through discipleship, and discipleship as a means for cultivating friendship. And at times that's beautiful and glorious, and at other times that's difficult and challenging. And so let me read Luke chapter 9, 23 through 36. If you have a physical copy of the scriptures, I invite you to turn there. You can read along on the screens, or if you have an app, scroll to Luke chapter 9, and I'll read 23 through 36. It says this: "And he is Jesus, he said to all, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?'" Skip down to verse 28. "Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothing became dazzling white." And look what happens. "Two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, is it good that we are here? Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' Not knowing what he said, and as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him.' This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is God's word. We say thanks be to God. Let me pray one more time. Father in heaven, we thank you for this call to cruciform discipleship. We thank you for this invitation to pick up our cross and to follow you. And we thank you for this invitation into friendship. And as we answer with a yes, we pray that you would give us and grant us and help us to cultivate and to sustain transformative friendships as a part of our discipleship and followership of you. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And the gathered church says, amen. Well, Jesus calls us not only to take up our cross and to follow him, he invites us to do so in the context of friendship. I love Luke chapter 9 because it's really planted in the center of two important themes and moments in Luke's gospel account. The first one, it comes prior when Jesus sends the 12, right? You could describe that group of 12 as like a small group, a community group that may meet in a home. And after this mountaintop experience, this transfiguration, there's another sending. There's the sending of the 72. you could describe that as a larger gathering, right? If you come to Mission Church in Norfolk on a Sunday morning, we'll probably have about 72 adults, right? A small urban fellowship in a small urban city. But sandwiched right in between these two sending narratives, the sending of the 12 and the sending of the 72, you have this small, intimate group of friends. That's Jesus ascending the mountain and taking up on the mountaintop with him Peter, James, and John. They were invited into an intimate friendship with Jesus, not simply to only witness his glory, but to carry that experience into the nitty-gritty reality of ministry, to include, I'm going to make an appeal, to include an emphasis upon the multicultural nature, the multi-ethnic nature of the New Testament church. So let's lean in. Multicultural friendships have been embedded in my life, in my faith, in my calling as a minister, and in the local church that I lead. And it's really rooted in texts like this. Look again at Luke chapter 9. We'll look at verse 23. This is what Jesus says. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is cruciform discipleship. And again, I'm making an appeal that friendship is a form of discipleship. But if we're going to pursue this form of discipleship, this friendship through discipleship, discipleship through friendship, we need to recognize that it will require sacrifice. It will require humility, sacrifice, humility, and a willingness to engage across cultural lines. If I could say it a different way, it's going to require us to pursue relationships and friendships with folks who ain't like you. For my English teachers, for people who are not like you. I mean, think about it with me, if you will. Peter, James, and John, they represent different personalities, different giftings, and different backgrounds. They share some similarities, but they're wired differently. Yet Jesus calls them together to go up the mountaintop for the mountaintop experience and all that happens when they descend from the mountaintop and continue in life and faith and ministry. And if you need application, then just look around the room. Look to your left, look to your right. These are the people in whom God is calling you to be together with. This is a crop of disciples. This is a crop of potential friendships that God may be inviting you to lean into. So I want to challenge each and every one of you. Build friendships with people unlike you, and it will strengthen your life. It will strengthen your faith, and it will strengthen your ministry. Engage with stories and cultures and experiences that are different than your own. I love Luke 9, 28 through 36, this depiction of a transfiguration, this mountaintop experience. And I know you all are familiar with it, but I just want to highlight a handful of things that I see in the text that I think are worth reiterating. They went up on the mountaintop to do what? To pray. They went up on the mountaintop to pray. And so maybe the line for us is that we ought to pray for friendships and that we ought to pray for multicultural friendships. It's something that we should seek the face of the Father about. It's a call to pray for these kinds of relationships. Another thing that stands out to me is they were together, and when they were together, they saw the glory of Jesus. Another thing that stands out, they are participants, but the cloud overshadows them. Yeah, they are fully present on the mountaintop, but they are overshadowed by something greater, and you know what comes from the clouds. It's the voice of the Lord. It is when they were together that they heard the voice of the Lord. And I know you came here this morning with a desire to hear the voice of the Lord, right? That is, you did not just come for another church service, right? You wanted something to engage your eyes. You wanted to see something glorious. You wanted to hear something that would stir you to continue to follow Jesus faithfully. And on the mountaintop, Peter, James, and John, as they are going up with Jesus, they get to hear the voice of the Father. When we gather like this as a church, we hear the voice of the Lord through the singing, through the praying, through the preaching. We hear the voice of the Lord when the water is dripping from a man or a woman, a boy or a girl who has said, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I'm going to let everybody know. I will go down in the water as a sign that I've died to my old way of living, and I'll come up out of the water as a sign that I've been raised to newness of life, and I have decided with the help of the Spirit to follow Jesus. Y'all read with me verse 35 one more time. This is what it says. It says that a voice came out of the cloud, and listen to what the voice said. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. One more time. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Where else have we heard this in Luke's gospel? Well, you know, it's John's baptism. John the Baptizer, the last great Old Testament prophet, right? It's one of my favorite retellings in the New Testament, where John the Baptizer is in the Jordan River, and he is offering a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And we know many people were coming to be baptized by John. The religious leaders, they showed up, but they weren't genuine. They weren't earnest. They were just coming to police the scene, if you will. Police the prophet, you could say it that way. And so he warns them, you snakes, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath that is coming? Because to submit to John's baptism, it meant rescuing grace and mercy, but it also meant salvation from a coming judgment. And I love the twist that happens in the narrative. Jesus steps into the Jordan River, not because he had sins to confess, right? Because when John the Baptizer saw Jesus from afar, he said, look, y'all, it's him. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John already knew who Jesus was. And Jesus goes toward John and he says to John, baptize me. And John is like, no. You got this backwards. I actually need to be baptized by you. But what does Jesus reply? This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. And so John, he obeys the voice of Jesus, and he takes him down into the Jordan River, immerses him deeply down in the waters of the Jordan River, and then he brings him up out of the water, and then we see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, showing off the love of God and affirming the Son of God, and then we hear a voice from heaven. It's the voice of the Father, and what does he say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And if I can just take a break in the middle of this message and encourage you, if you are in Christ today, that is how the Father sees you on this morning. You are a loved son. You are a loved daughter. I don't care what anybody else has said about you. I don't care about the names that people have called you. I'm not concerned with people misunderstanding your sonship and your daughtership in Christ. If you are in Jesus, just as the Father looks at the Son, this is my loved Son in whom I am well pleased, then the love of God is upon you this morning. Then the grace of God is with you this morning. Then the kindness and the goodness and the mercy of God is upon you this morning. And God is pleased with you because you are in the Son. And I know some of you are resistant to that this morning. You say, Charles, you don't know my week. I mess some stuff up. I jack some stuff up. But if you are in Christ, the love of God has never been predicated upon how good your week was. It was always predicated upon the eternal Son of God who became human and died in order that you might have a right standing with him through faith. And so keep going in faith. Keep confessing. Keep repenting. Keep on believing and remain steadfast in him because he loves you and he is for you. Friendship. Friends have to remind friends of those truths from time to time. And when we think about friendship, we recognize that there is joy and there is tension when it comes to friendship. Look at this. Luke chapter 9, verse 33. Let's read it one more time. Master, is it good that we are here? That is, the mountaintop experience was joyful, but it was also marked by tension. Peter's desire to build tents, it reflects the temptation to hold on to comfortable moments rather than step into the hard work of ministry. That is, this is a beautiful moment when Jesus reveals himself on the mountaintop, but they cannot set up tents. They cannot remain there. They cannot stay there forever. We all know in real life, friendship is not all about mountaintop experiences. At some point, we have to descend. We have to go down. We have to leave the mountaintop. And I would be honest with you, in my experience, multicultural friendships are marked by both joy and discomfort. Learning new cultural norms, addressing misunderstandings and differences, choosing connection over comfort. Hear me out. My encouragement this morning is that you embrace the tension, that you embrace the joy and the discomfort as both dually part of authentic friendship. You see, some of us have a temptation when friendships get messy to just check out. But the only way you're going to grow in your maturation of being able to persevere through tension and difficulty and hardship is to experience tension, difficulty, and hardship. If you always check out when friendships get hard, then you are not maturing in Christ, because how many of you know that I don't believe you can lose your salvation? But this I believe. If we could lose our salvation, we would have lost it a long time ago, right? Well, how are we kept? Because Jesus is a keeper. He's a good friend. He know how messed up, jacked up, raggedy, bootleg, wandering and straying we are. Maybe I'm just talking about myself. But if Jesus were not an excellent friend who knows how to keep close companionship with a sketchy man, my God, if I can testify this morning, then, man, I would be in bad shape. So what's my point? We follow the pattern how Jesus keeps in close proximity with us. He stays close to us. He perseveres with us on the beautiful sunny days, and he perseveres with us on the rainy days. He perseveres with us when things are good, and he keeps us and he sustains a friendship with us when we are not looking like we are loved sons and daughters. And I know somebody, it's one or two of y'all who got an amen and an amen and an amen. What's my point? Stay present. Stay present when relationships feel hard or complicated. You see, the mountaintop experience, it requires us to go up the mountain. That's the grit of friendship. If you're going to have a friendship, you can't be a punk, okay? It's going to take some grit to persevere and be a good friend. Look at verse 28. This is what it says. He took with him Peter and John and James, and he went up on the mountain to pray. Friendship, like discipleship, it requires ascending the mountain. For any of you who have ever done some rock climbing or some mountain climbing, or you've gone through difficult terrain, that's a good metaphor for friendship. Ascending the mountaintop, it's the gritty. It is not glamorous, but we persevere through ascending the mountain as a friend with friends in order that we might experience those mountaintop experiences. If you've been following closely, you see that Jesus' invitation to discipleship through friendship or friendship through discipleship, it's going to require sacrifice, letting go of comfort. It'll require listening. And they were listening, and you know what they heard? This is my son. Listen to him. It's going to be transformative as they witness God's glory, and it changes the way they see themselves, it changes the way that they see others, and it changes the way that they see the world that they are living and ministering in. Y'all consider this with me. Friendship is going to require commitment to the hard work of listening and showing up. So engage friendships with the purpose of having a listening ear and a listening heart. Engage friendships that are across ethnicity, culture, and experience, and ask yourself as you're listening to your friend, how does God want to reveal himself to me in this relationship? God, I know that you are a God who is constantly speaking if we are listening. You are a God who makes yourself known in the everyday and the ordinary, and you make yourself known in the context of friendship. God, what do you want me to know about you through this friendship? Now, that's going to require you to know you, right? That's going to require for you to have some self-awareness, right? Because the best friends are aware of how they show up in the context of relationship and in the context of friendship. And it's also going to require us to hold our preferences loosely. I'm not saying that you don't have beliefs and values and commitments and convictions. We all ought to be men and women of conviction who have principles, guiding principles that guide the way that we live and guide our day-to-day affairs and how we walk before the Lord. But I'm talking differently than a conviction where you may have some preferences, but if you're going to enter into multicultural friendship with folks who ain't like you, it's going to require you to hold your preferences loosely. So we talk about the ascent, going up the mountain. That's the grit of friendship. But what happens while we are on the mountaintop? That's the glory of friendship. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 32. I'll read it one more time. They got to the mountaintop, and the text says that they saw his glory. That's good. The disciples witnessed the glory of Jesus together. Friendship reveals God's glory, and multicultural friendships reflect the diversity and unity of the kingdom of God. You see, in friendship circles, you get to hear someone's story without presumption. In friendship circles, you get to visit someone in their ministry context. I believe the greatest ministry context is the home. And it's in the context of friendship where you go to a friend's house and you get to see what they're really like. I mean, you can experience Pastor Charles in one way in a gathering like this, but if you come to my house and my kids are jumping off the couch and there's Cheerios on the floor and we said after breakfast, make sure you clean the table and there's dishes in the kitchen and there's just, my house is, y'all know I got 5 kids, right? It's a little chaotic. Just a little bit. Okay, maybe a medium-sized bit of chaos at the house. I promise you we love Jesus. I promise you we do. But it's in that context where you get to see me as a minister, right? Because living in a household with others is ministry. If you have the gift of singleness and you have roommates, I know your roommates get on your nerves sometimes, but that's an opportunity for ministry, right? Being a husband, being a wife, that's ministry. Being a father, it could be adoptive or foster care or your biological children. Friends, that's ministry. When you have friends over from the church and you invite them into the real nitty-gritty of life, friends, that's ministry. And I love that in discipleship circles, we get to see the real nitty-gritty of what it looks like to live for Jesus in the day-to-day realities of life. You see, good friends invite us to enjoy joy, to share in joy, but also to share in pain. You know, genuine, authentic friendships invite us into vulnerability. And true friendship, as we embrace these practices of friendship, they reveal to us the glory of God. Jesus makes himself known. And as you get to know your friend, you realize, oh, you are really saved by grace. No, through this intimacy and you sharing more about your real life and your real struggles and you inviting me to do the same, we discover something that if it had not been for Jesus. I'm trying to be helpful. I'm trying to be helpful, y'all. So maybe we can pray. Maybe we can pray for this. Maybe we can pray for these kind of God-glorifying friendships that will transform us. You see, friendship, again, it's not just for the mountaintop. It's meant to shape your life and your faith and your ministry and all of you, whether you have a title or not. If you are in Christ, you are a ministry leader. You are a forming, becoming ministry leader. And the best ministry leaders have embraced this cruciform discipleship, taking up their cross and following Jesus in the form of friendship, discipleship through friendship, and friendship through discipleship. Brothers and sisters, we know this mountaintop experience, it's what our hearts long for, but we know eventually we've lived enough life to know eventually we have to go down the mountain, and that's the goodness of friendship. It's the descent. You see, descent requires humility. It requires us to go down. But we have a great example for us in Christ, the eternal Son of God, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit. He chose the descent. He put on human flesh and he walked among the earth and he befriended sinners and smelly fishermen and outcasts in society and those whom society did not care about. He became their friend. But this required something, this type of close intimacy and friendship that Peter, James, and John experienced on the mountaintop as they take the descent. It will require something. Look at Luke 9, verse 36. This is what it says as they took the descent from the mountaintop experience. They kept silent and they told no one. That's a good friendship principle. Intimacy and vulnerability providing us a space of trust where I can share my joys and my victories, my mess, my junk, and you won't tell anybody unless you're concerned that something tragic could happen if you don't speak up and advocate on my behalf. And this kind of friendship, it actually transforms us. But we see that the work continues after the mountaintop experience. I know some of you thought the apex of friendship was happy hour on Friday after a long work week. And what I'm saying is that half-off appetizers on Friday after a long work week, that's friendship, right? Right? We need good friends that we can hang out with on Friday or Saturday, or we can come here on Saturday evening and worship, and then we can go and share a meal together as friends. That is friendship. But friendship is so much more than half-off appetizers after a long work week. Friendship is you getting involved when I'm having marriage or family tensions and conflict. Friendship is you helping me to think through how I'm dealing with stress and anxiousness. Friendship is you helping me think through God's calling, his identity and purpose for my life. Friendship is not you rescuing in and saving me, but lovingly keeping me accountable if I'm dealing with compulsive behaviors. Friendship is there when I'm dealing with grief and loss. Friendship shows up when I'm struggling with forgiveness and I need to pursue reconciliation. Friendship shows up when I'm having faith questions or I'm beginning to be like Thomas and I'm doubting. Friendship shows up when I need sexual integrity in my singleness and or in my marriage, right? Friendship shows up when I'm having vocation and work challenges. And friendship shows up when I maybe experience the emotions of life. It could be anger. It could be resentment. Friendship shows up in an embodied way because we are filled with the Spirit. We are love sons and daughters while simultaneously we have human bodies that live in a fallen world. And the kingdom of God is at hand when those tensions of I'm saved and I genuinely love Jesus, but I struggle with the day-to-day realities of what it looks like to follow Jesus in a fallen world. And I know God's kingdom is advancing, and sometimes the king sends us a friend to help us through the realities of life. Peter, James, and John, they left that mountaintop experience changed. And they actually, later in their ministries, they give us a glimpse of what it looks like to follow Jesus in this rapidly changing Roman Greco world. I mean, the Hebrew scriptures have been translated into the Septuagint. The Romans have built roads, right? So travel is a little easier than times past. And it makes sense that the Messiah came into the world and died on a cross for Jew and Gentile. And God revealed that to Peter. And at the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, Peter speaks up and advocates for the Gentiles, full inclusion in the people of God. But also John, we know that he was imprisoned later in life. He was an old man at this time, and he received a vision directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he see? He saw a people from every nation and every tribe and every tongue standing before the throne and worshiping the Lamb, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God." I guess the appeal that I'm trying to make is that friendship is a beautiful form of discipleship. But it's going to require us to pick up our cross and to wholeheartedly follow after Jesus. Taking up our cross, it includes building friendships across cultural, ethnic, and personal divides. And I would even go as far as to say that friendship, pursuing these kind of life-giving friendships, are an act of obedience and trust. So let's go up the mountain together. Are y'all going with me? I mean, we're going to leave here and we're going to go, we're going to find a mountain, we're going to go up it, right? We could do a physical, literal mountain, or we can engage the gritty work of going up the mountain together with friends, with the hope, the desire, the expectation that we'll have mountaintop experience only to go back down the mountain. You see, I'm convinced that this is one of the reasons that the eternal Son of God became human, that we might have these kinds of friendships. You see, I believe that Jesus submitted himself to the birth canal and was born into the world in order. One of the reasons is that we might have these kinds of discipleship, relationships, friendships. You know, I'm so convinced that Jesus was betrayed by Judas in order that we might have real, authentic friendship. You see, I'm convinced that Jesus suffered, beaten, and he was spit upon. He was laughed at. He was mocked. They wrapped him in a purple garment and gave him a scepter and mocked him. One of the reasons he went through that great suffering and mocking is so that we could have these kinds of friendships. You know, I believe that Jesus was nailed to a cross. They put nails into his hands and nails into his feet. And one of the reasons Jesus is suffering on a cross is that you and I might have these kinds of friendship. You know, Jesus was placed in a tomb on that awful Friday, and it was a sorrowful Saturday. I'm sure Mary and the other Mary were friends that were grieving together. But then we know what happened. It was a Sunday morning similar to this. Mary and her friend, the other Mary, Mary and Mary, they went to see the tomb to pay respect to their fallen rabbi. And they received a mountaintop moment of their own. An angelic messenger said, "I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen just like he said that he would. I can show you better than I can tell you. Friends, go and see the place where his body was laying." And they encountered Jesus in all of his resurrected glory. And he told those friends, Mary and the other Mary, "Hey, go tell my friends to meet me where? On the mountain of Galilee." You see, when friends walk together in the everyday joys and difficulties of life, they have mountaintop moments. They have experiential moments where the glory of Jesus is revealed to them. And then they have opportunities to tell others, "Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus is real and he is alive." And they get new friends and they get more mountaintop experiences. So let me give you a handful of encouragements as we think through this practically. The first one is I encourage you to pursue a cross-cultural friendship. Ask God to reveal to you someone from a different background to befriend. Intentionally reach out to them for coffee or lunch or have them over to the house, right? If they're from a different location, geographical location than the 757, or from a different continent, you might want to ask them, do they know of any authentic dishes from their place of origin? And they may say, "Well, no, I don't know any dishes." And maybe that could be something that you could explore together, sharing a meal together. Intentionally reach out and be curious. Ask about their story. Ask about their family story. Ask about their faith. Don't presume that they grew up in a Christian household, that they grew up in a secular household or a non-faith-based household, or did they grow up in a different religious context and culture? Number two, I'd encourage you to create space for honest conversations. Now, I'm not naive. This could go left. And so it's going to require some prayer, right? It's going to require some humility. It's going to require you being down on your knees and asking the Lord to give you the courage to be the kind of friend who enters into difficult and honest conversations, respecting and even valuing where you may look at a topic, a theme, or an issue, and you may come to different conclusions. But with charity, you can say, "It sounds like me and you see this differently. And my goal isn't to persuade you, my friend. And I know your goal isn't to persuade me that I'm right or that you're right. But we can live in that tension of I have friends who see things differently than I do." Number three, maybe you want to join or start a multicultural discipleship group, right? Maybe there's a good book that the pastors would recommend that you could read together that would be for your spiritual formation and growth in this area. Maybe you want to engage in cross-cultural ministry, right? We know that there is a Point Harbor. How do you say it? I want to say it right. Come on, that's your opportunity, right? To build friendship, to build relationship. Maybe you want to learn a new Spanish, right? And that's has practical benefits, right? If you could put it on your resume, but this isn't something that's just pragmatic. This is a spiritual journey. So now you're learning Spanish. not so you can put it on your resume and that you're bilingual, but so that you can communicate with a brother or sister in their heart tongue. Man, that's the descent, brothers and sisters. But I promise you, if you go up the mountain, it's hard work, right? Acquiring a new language. There'll be mountaintop experiences. And, it all works together as a invitation from Jesus to pick up our cross and to wholeheartedly follow him. But there's probably other places. You talk to Pastor Jose. I'm a missions pastor at heart. So I want to be like Pastor Jose, really. I want to be able to go to different places and love and serve and minister in the name of Jesus. Maybe you want to plead with him to take you on one of those trips so that you can engage in cross-cultural ministry. Maybe you want to come to Norfolk, right? You want a two-day weekend in Norfolk, and we'll take you around the city, and you can do some cross-cultural ministry. We'll keep you safe. We'll be dangerous, but we'll keep it safe, right? Maybe, as you reflect on these things and these invitations from the Lord, a couple more passages might help you as you reflect and respond with prayer. Let me give you some scriptures that I think will root you as you pray for friends and ask the Lord to deepen friendship connections. Let me give you John 15:12-15. It says this: "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Galatians 3:28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ." It's not abolishing these distinctions, right? Male and female still exist, right? Ethnicity and societal status and culture still exist, but they are transformed in Christ and transformed for the purpose of unity, discipleship, and friendship. And last but not least, 1 John 4:7-12. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins," the sin offering on our behalf. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another," in the context of friendship, "God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." And so we stay the course in this call to discipleship through friendship, friendship through discipleship, even when it gets hard, asking God to reveal his glory through these kind of relationships. Let's pray toward that end. Father in heaven, we thank you for friends. We thank you that you have called us friends. In one way, we image you and embody Jesus, who came and lived and had a physical, literal, bodily resurrection, is embodied relationships. God, we thank you for technology. We can meet with friends through a FaceTime or a digital video platform, but there is something sweet about being in embodied fellowship together, where the tensions and the joys and the tensions of life can be shared, where mountaintop experiences can be had. God, there's also something beautiful about the multicultural, multi-ethnic nature of the kingdom of God. And we pray that you would just give us friends that embody our commitment to being kingdom citizens, even when at times others are more citizens of a particular nation or a group that might be indifferent or resistant toward the multi-ethnic, multicultural kingdom which is at hand. Because Jesus lived and died and was raised for all nations and all peoples. And Lord, we just pray that our friendship circles would reflect that truth in an embodied way. So bless the peoples, Lord. Give them ideas of maybe friends that they need to call and they need to reach out to, and give vision for new friendships and aha moments and transfiguration and glory and goodness and mercy and all those good things for our good and enjoyment, yes. But we primarily ask these things for the glory of the Father, for the glory of the Son and the glory of God the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people say, amen.